T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
In the studio with us this afternoon, Patrick Murphy is here, who was last year talking about licorice, and we can explain that, but he's written a new book called The Irish in St. Louis, From Shanty to Lace Curtains. Patrick Murphy, welcome back. How are you? And congratulations on the book.
Hey, thanks.
Wait, let me make sure the right... this is where Sue being gone today throws me off considerably.
No, it's a little red button that says on.
Yeah.
Is that?
Oh. But I sometimes don't know how to control the other mics. Let's.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's
again.
Go through the licorice thing just quickly because the Switzers documentary was fantastic. It was on last year. We were all excited to talk about that. Where can people find that right now? Does it live on a streaming platform or anything?
Yeah, actually, the book Candyman, you can get it in bookstores, or you can go to, we got a website now. It's because I got a couple of books now, patrickmurphyauthor.com. You can get Candyman there. Or you can get the book that we're going to talk about
today.
But
you can get, can you find the documentary there, though?
Oh, the documentary.
Yeah, how can you find the documentary?
I think that might be on Channel 9's website.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just wasn't sure if you could, you know, that it's probably not going to get on Netflix just because it's more of a local regional thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I bet it's on Channel 9's website. Yeah.
Well, there was some history of the Irish in that story, wasn't there?
It was. It was two Irish families.
Yeah.
The Switzers, which doesn't sound Irish, but it is. They came from, you know, County Tipperary. And the Murphys, which is like my family. And they came over from Ireland and they started a candy company, which was Switzer's Licorice, which became kind of a St. Louis icon because it was right by the Eads Bridge. And one of the things that St. Louis was famous for was Switzer's Licorice.
So let's go. Where do you start this story about the Irish in St. Louis?
Actually, I start the story about the St. Louis Irish in Ireland, and like, what did they leave? Why did they come over here in the first place? Like, nobody comes to America.
Was it potatoes?
It was potatoes, and it was English people.
Was
it? Yeah, because the potato famine was in the 1840s, and that just wiped the country out. But before that, Europe was occupied for 6 years by the Nazis during World War II. Ireland was occupied for 800 years by the English. It was illegal to speak Irish. It was illegal to be Catholic. It was illegal to wear green. They really did hang people for wearing green. And so a lot of them came over to America, and a lot of them came over to St. Louis, settled in a place called Kerry Patch, just north of the Eads Bridge.
You should have headphones on, but I have to play this just because you're talking about the English. Kevin Klein from A Fish Called Wanda here.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Always like that line. You know, I think one of the things that you discussed when we were talking about the licorice documentary in Candyman, and I'm sure you covered in this story, and this is something that is hard for someone like me born in 1965 to relate with, the racism against the Irish people this country. I mean, and the Italians and the Irish, they didn't necessarily get along very well, did they?
You know, the thing about the race, it's so weird. And I knew there was a lot of discrimination because I heard stories from the older people in my family about signs that say Irish need not apply.
Yeah.
And dogs and Irish not allowed, like in certain places. And there was a lot of prejudice. There was this, first of all, they were Catholic.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, you know, Catholic, they're going to take over the country. I mean, it's just different. You know, they wanted a good Protestant country. And they were really poor when they came over here. I mean, the famine Irish were just poorer than anybody had ever seen before. And then there was this know-nothing movement. It was kind of this movement where they didn't want immigrants to come to America. They actually had riots in the 1850s where they burned down. There was house-to-house fighting. The Hibernians actually started out as a military group to defend the Irish neighborhoods here in St. Louis.
Well, what was the exact path to St. Louis? Did it come through Chicago, or was there...
There were two ways. You could either come, you could land like in Boston or Philadelphia or Baltimore or someplace. And if you look, there were rivers that connect all the way, you know, to the Mississippi. And then when you're on the Mississippi, you're practically in St. Louis. But a lot of them went to New Orleans and came up the river.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them didn't even get as far as St. Louis. They stopped in Carondelet. There was an Irish neighborhood in Carondelet, too. And then Dogtown, of course.
So, I still love that Carondelet neighborhood. That's like ripe for renovation, don't you think?
Oh yeah, and it was funny too because, there was a German Catholic church, and six blocks away there was an Irish Catholic church. Like the whole city was, you know, crazy immigrants. St. Columbkill, the Irish; St. Boniface, the German. But I mean, they had a tough time, you know, adapting. Nobody, which is one of the reasons I wrote the book, because we've got two St. Patrick's Day parades. I mean, you know, everybody loves the Irish, right? I mean, you know, like...
How can you not like the Irish?
I know. I mean, they're charming.
I think some people like drinking
funny.
Also, right?
Yeah. But it wasn't always like that. And so how did they go from, like, being despised and shut off in these ghettos like Kerry Patch and Dogtown to being, like, St. Louis's, you know, favorite ethnic group? Everybody wants to be Irish one day out of the year, right?
Do you cover, you know, I don't know if you watched, did you see the movie Belfast, which was out?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the Oscar favorites.
And, really liked that movie.
I thought it was fantastic. Kenneth Branagh directed it. It's a real easy watch, too. It's only about 90 minutes and deals with what happened in the late 1960s in Ireland
the troubles,
with the violence, but also that drove a lot of people out of that country, too. Was there a part of this book that has any of that addressed with more immigrants coming to this country? Because what happened with, you know, the Irish and the Catholics in the early... Well, I guess it would be the late 1960s.
Yeah, the book doesn't focus on that as much, except that Hibernians and other groups here in St. Louis are still want to see Ireland united. Like in every, you know, it's every Easter they go to Calvary Cemetery to the big Celtic cross, you know, and have a little ceremony there and sing songs and have a good time. But one of the reasons we have two St. Patrick's Day parades is because in the early 80s. An organization called Northern Irish Aid, which some people thought was giving money to the IRA, wanted to take part in the downtown parade.
Oh.
And the folks who had the downtown parade said, no, we don't want political. They were deemed a terrorist group by the Irish government. And the people who wanted Northern Aid to be in it decided to start their own parade, which is now the Hibernian Parade in Dogtown.
Did you mention this, too? I see this as a note in the book, that you had these really... I guess, badass gangs came here in St. Louis that were from some of the Irish slums?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to imagine how tough Kerry Patch was. And my grandfather grew up in Kerry Patch and his brother, and I knew these guys. And it was just one tough place run by gangs, and the gangs had political affiliations. So they were political and tough, you know, just a lot of breaking legs and, you know, stuffing ballot boxes. And, but they really got into organized crime, and there were a couple of them. Jelly Roll Hogan was one of them.
This is a great name. It's a great, you know, mobster name. It's a great, gang name. It's a great radio name, if we're being honest, Patrick. Great broadcaster.
Jelly Roll
name.
Hogan, yeah. and Egan's Rats, you know, was another one. And these guys back in the 19-teens and 1920s, they're driving around North St. Louis, hanging off a Model T, shooting machine guns at each other. I mean, they were slaughtering each other all over the North Side. And there's a chapter in the book on it. Eventually, they just kind of all killed themselves and they weren't a problem anymore.
The Irish in St. Louis. Patrick Murphy is the author From Shanty to Lace Curtain. Do you address in the book, and I think that there's a broader theme here, but I'm curious how you tackle this, the issue of assimilation, the issue of becoming an American, because I think one of the issues with immigration today is that there's an unwillingness to actually embrace the country, learn the language, be an American. But we've seen this from immigrant groups for decades and how much they do love this country. What about the Irish?
For a long time, they were in their own neighborhoods, and they had their own churches, and they had their own societies. But it was basically because they came over here, and like nobody else wanted them. So it took several decades for them to really become assimilated, but they wanted to. And it was easier for the Irish to become assimilated because, like, my great-grandfather came over from Dublin. He had a brogue. He was kind of a funny little guy, you know. But his sons, my grandfather and that whole generation, they didn't have a brogue. They didn't talk like they were Irish. You can't tell by looking at somebody whether they're Catholic or not. You know, get a shoe shine and a haircut and not speak with a brogue, and you can pass for a regular American. It was pretty easy. So that made the assimilation easier, and they started moving out of the neighborhoods. By the end of World War I, Kerry Patch was pretty much not Irish anymore. So it was a lot easier for a lot of other groups. Like on the Hill, you know, people spoke Italian. It was harder to immigrate. But, you know, you talked earlier, you brought this, there was even a whole racial pseudoscience where, like, back in the 1870s, 1880s even, there was this pseudoscience that the Irish weren't quite, quote, unquote, white. That
really?
Yeah. And there were scientific studies, and it's in the book, too, where there are pictures of the profiles of them, the profile of a Teutonic Anglo-Saxon man. That's the highest you can be. And then, you know, everybody.
And the Irish didn't qualify.
No, they were They were like technically white, but with an asterisk, kind of. You know, they were sort of some kind of a subspecies. And you look at newspapers back then, and they have cartoons, political cartoons, and they look like monkeys.
That's fascinating.
It's so weird. I'm guessing
you have, because I know you did for Kennedy, a bunch of archive photos and things that you dug up on
this.
Oh, yeah,
we got about 200 photos in the book. A lot of them, well, from everywhere, particularly the Missouri Historical Society. And old ads and things. So you talk about assimilation. You know, it's like they basically just fought their way, elbowed their way into a place in America. And no matter how bad it was over here, like, it wasn't half as bad as it was over in Ireland. So they're kind of like, oh, you're going to discriminate against us? That's nothing. That's nothing.
It's all perspective sometimes,
Irish,
right?
Irish need not apply? That's nothing. Paint pictures of us like we look like monkeys? Forget it. It was worse than that. They're not trying to kill us over here.
Interesting how that changes things. The Irish in St. Louis, from shanty to lace curtain. Patrick Murphy is the author. You got some events coming up, including one tomorrow, don't you? Maybe two tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Webster Bookstore, 1 to 3, a signing, 5:30, a Grafica Gallery in Webster near Old Orchard. And then on the 19th, Pat Connolly's Tavern.
That's the place to have it, right? You're not doing one at McGurk's?
Right. No, we've already done McGurk's.
Oh, of course. Yeah, duh. That was just a dumb question, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had the big launch at McGurk's. That was crazy. That was nuts. And these signings are great because, like, you meet all of these people, and they want to tell you their story. They want to tell you their Irish story. And that's one of the reasons I think people today still relate to being Irish. Like, I'm fully assimilated. Nobody's discriminating against me. We all have these stories passed on in the family, and we're proud of it.
Absolutely. Patrick, great, great work here. Thank you for coming in and talking the reason we couldn't get him in tomorrow is because you got these events tomorrow. We wanted to get you on the day, but this is good enough.
You can get him at all the bookstores, or you can go to patrickmurphyauthor.com website and send you a book. And couldn't be better timing.
No kidding.
That perfect St. Patrick's
Day. And perfect
Day
weather,
gift.
Too. The Irish in St. Louis. Thank you so much, Patrick Murphy. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Will we see a documentary?
We're talking about it.
Well,
we're talking about it.
That sounds like a lot of work.
But, it is, you know, a lot of work.
Could be interesting for
but
sure.
It would be cool, wouldn't it?
It would be very cool. Keep us posted on that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.